here. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we come to you by way of this broadcast. Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted to come to you, and we always invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And many times I fail, falter, and forget to remind you of the telephone number, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll be talking about a very interesting, a very serious subject today, how to understand the Bible. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever thought about, how do I understand this big old book called the Bible? Multitudes of people get into chaos, confusion, and calamity as a result of it. We have denominational problems across every denominational line in the world and in America. We have the chaos, the conflict, and confusion about how to study the Bible, how to interpret a verse or a text. I've said many times, for example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's wonderful, John 3:16. What comes before John 3:16? John 3:1 through 15. What comes before John 3:1 through 15 and 16? That is John chapter 1 and chapter 2 and all of chapter 3. What comes after John 3:16? You find wind up with John 3:36. Who believes and who's not believing? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious matter, because a major conflict, a major state of discussion and decry and debate across all denominational lines is how to interpret the Scripture, how to understand it. And we're going to talk about that today just briefly. It's a subject that could take weeks and weeks and weeks on end in classroom lecture to walk through every aspect of every precept and every process of carrying out the study of the Bible, the research and the study. We're going to talk about how to understand the Bible, and the major, major thing that we're going to talk about, when I say we have Dr. Davis with us today, Dr. Phelps with us today, and the three of us are going to have a little dialogue and discussion around the table, a round table discussion, and we'll invite you to join in our round table discussion in relationship to the subject, how to understand the Bible. And let me remind you, as we face the issues every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Scripture says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible declares the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I want us to bear in mind that the Bible is the truth book. But multitudes of times, we take verses out of context, make them say things that God never intended for His word to say. It's very important for us to understand context. It's the truth book. But may I say to you, as Orwell said, the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. but truth still matters. And I think most of the time, there's a divergent from truth. There's a bifurcation of truth. There's a mindset that somehow, some way, I can take a half-truth and make truth out of it. A half-truth is a whole lie. We need to believe every word of the Scripture in context. We need to take a stand for truth today. I'm amazed and saddened that according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Absolute truth is not a factor for the millennials. They say that every person has their own version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just do a little parenthetical footnote, illustration of that today is that we have a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist running for mayor in New York. And out of the 11 candidates running in the primary, he got 42.5%. And the majority of his voters are millennials. And he has promised to give free stuff, free education, free health care. The city would set up grocery stores that they could go in and buy groceries at giveaway prices or just give away completely. He's promised to eliminate the police department. So I reckon if there's an emergency, you'd call 911. They'd send out a family counselor to your house to try to talk the gunman from shooting everybody. I don't know. But the point that I make is that train is running off the tracks, and it's running off quickly. And it's based on the mindset of the millennials today. And it's because most of those have been through the colleges and the universities where the socialist, Marxist, communist professors have taught them to hate America, to hate the Constitutional Republic, to hate the system of government that we have, and to hate America, and to believe that socialism, Marxism, communism is sufficient. And Marxism, socialism, communism has failed in every nation, in every society, in every era that it's been tried. And yet we have those that are believing it. And the point that I make with that digression is that we need to come back to the centrality of the Word of God as the source of truth. It is the truth book. The 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus made this statement. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this time on the air with you, is to seek the truth, love it, list it, listen to it, learn it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. And I believe if Jesus tarries, there will come a day in the near future that it's going to require one's life in taking a stand for the truth in particular of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today in the studio two gentlemen that love the Lord, know the Word, and that we depend on for us to have a little dialogue session about the issues. Dr. Phelps, I'm thankful that you're up and about, feeling better to be with us today.
Well, I'd like to praise the Lord today for the measure of health and strength that He gives. We can rely upon the Lord, and we can have things supernaturally done for us.
Amen. I'm thankful for that.
God is so good.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for coming, being with us today. You take a journey from up in Folkestone, Georgia, to be with us, and I'm thankful for that. Dr. Davis, welcome as we face the issues. Share with us some brief introductory thoughts, not about the issue, but about what your goals are, what your aspirations are. Why do you think this broadcast is important as we share this truth today?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, first I want to thank God for being here today, and I want to say good morning to all of my family and friends and everyone that are listening today by way of ilovethetruth.com, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. Thank God for you joining us today. But it's very important, amen, Dr. Youngblood, for this broadcast, even now more than it's ever been. Because the Bible lets us know that we're living in the last days and that Christ is on his way coming back. Now, I don't know how many want to go with him, but I pray that all that are listening to us today want to go back with the Lord and want to be ready when he comes. It behooves us to not be getting ready, but to be ready and stay ready all the time. Pack up, look up, because we're going up.
Amen.
One day when the Lord returns.
Amen.
So we want you to know and understand that what we need to know, especially from the discussion that we're having on this broadcast today and each and every day, that it's important for you to know the truth. And I think you point that out every day so excellently, Amen. Dr. Youngblood. Amen. And that's what people really need to know. We need to set aside our differences, if we are all believers in Christ Jesus, such as race, creed, and color, all of these kind of things. Sometimes people play the race card. It's time for that stuff to be
you know,
put
Dr.
to
Davis,
death.
I'll jump in and say this. You know, it was Ken Ham that wrote the book, God Created One Race, the Human Race.
Amen. Amen. So it's time for us to really set aside those differences and consult the Word of God. Find out what the truth is. And once we come to know the truth, then we need to share that with those who are without Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about that on today.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, as you were speaking, I was pondering it as Dr. Phelps gave some introductory words. I read an article just recently, in fact, this past couple of days, that's a little frightening to me, sad also. An individual that is a spokesperson for a major denominational magazine. It was a magazine that was started by Billy Graham back many, many, many years ago. It has declined and devolved into a rag today, but it's supposed to be a Christian writer and a Christian magazine. And he's chiding Christians and preachers and churches that are taking what is happening on the global scene, especially with Iran and Israel. And he said, don't you dare believe that because these things are happening, that that's the end of the time. He goes on to chide preachers and churches and Christians for believing that these are the signs of the end times. He said, we've been seeing this for thousands of years, so we can't claim that Jesus is any nearer today than he always has been because of what is taking place. And I have said, and some have heard on this broadcast many, many times, that it doesn't mean that Jesus is coming tomorrow or the rapture will take place tomorrow. It could be. We do not know. But we're watching the chessmen being put on God's chess table, chessboard, watching the curtain, the stage being set for the curtains to go up for the end to be here. And so that's the reason it's so vital for us to talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues and need to understand how to study the Bible. So that's what we're talking about today, is how to understand the Word of God, how to understand the Scripture. I believe that there's more debate, more discussion, more divisiveness in American churches because of that one factor. That one factor. It is something that ought to be understood, and that is called context. In fact, there's an illustration that I've used so many times. What if I were to be gone out of town, or the one listening to us, a husband's gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. His wife sends him a long letter. 5 pages, 6 pages, 10 pages. And the husband receives that letter. He reads page one, might pick, drop back down, read one paragraph or one sentence on page three, and then read page five and think that he's understood what she said. It's an impossibility. God's word is a love letter to us. We need to read every word, every paragraph, every sentence, every chapter to understand what God is saying. We can't just pick and choose the words that we want to believe, receive, and embrace and claim that's what God is saying. And yet that's the way the Word of God is handled today.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, here's another thing that really bothers me a lot when it comes down to any leader in the church, even down to the lay members. We need to understand that the church is not a place for competition. Mm-hmm. God didn't ordain us as leaders to beat the people over the head and show them that we know more than them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not supposed to be out there trying to outdo one another. If you can preach better than me, good.
Amen.
If you can pray better than me, good.
Amen.
He told us all to come together and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations in the Great Commission. He didn't tell us to compete with one another. He didn't tell us to compare doctrines, because we're wasting time trying to prove out whether speaking in tongues is legitimate, if laying hands. I mean, we got these different technicalities. And as you say every day on the air, I listen. I've been listening. When I first started listening, that's the thing that drew me to Conservative Theological University. Because you would say some things that were very truthful in the monologue, is that one of the things that you say is that everyone has their own version of truth. Mm-hmm. When we need to understand that there is only one truth.
One interpretation, that's it.
And that's the Word of God.
Absolutely.
So if we learn how to just concentrate on what the Word of God says and set aside all of those technicalities, mm-hmm. we can lead the world in the right way.
Yes.
And that's looking up to Christ.
If I can tie up a theological, doctrinal, philosophical loose end, as I've told, because we're a trans-denominational in the university, that means we're not preaching, teaching Baptist, Church of God, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Lutheranism. We're simply teaching, preaching the Scripture, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And as I tell people, if you're here, we want to teach you what the Scripture says and how to interpret it. If you want to then go back to your church and put layers of traditionalism or layers of denominational dogma on top of it, that's your prerogative, that's your responsibility before God. Not what we do here.
Amen.
We simply take
Amen.
The Word of God, and as I call it, peel all the onion back, and it's simply what the Word of God says, nothing more and nothing less. We need to get back to the fundamental, foundational values of what the Scripture tells us. There are many applications to the Word of God, but only one interpretation.
Amen.
Only one interpretation. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What we're planning on doing in this broadcast today is take two or three, that's all time allows to do, two or three pretty controversial verses and units of thought and analyze them and see what they really say and what they do not say. I've forgotten where, I believe it's in Ephesians, Dr. Phelps, where it says that Judas went out and hung himself, and two or three verses later it says, go ye therefore and do likewise. but if you don't take it in context, you're going to be preaching and teaching a false gospel. You're believing a false theology. And we need to understand that Scripture is like that love letter that I spoke of earlier.
Amen.
We need to look at it verse by verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for your edification, perhaps you've not heard this before, but the verse and chapter divisions are not inspired. God didn't put them there. Man did. When the Bible was divided into verse and chapter divisions, it's because it will encourage lazy readers to read the Scripture, but yet many people read one or two verses, teach one or two verses, and think you've really pleased God when you're plucking them out of context. Context is really, really important. So as we talk about how to understand the Bible, we're talking about how to read it, study it. The Bible is very clear. Study and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And that is the key to biblical understanding today. I enjoy in the college and the university teaching hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is simply a long word that means the art and study of the Scripture, how to understand the Scripture, art and science, if you want to call it that, of scriptural interpretation. And may I say to ladies and gentlemen, there are those that will look at a verse and take it without context, without considering the previous verses. For example, and I'm going to say this, then I'm going to let you man talk. Revelation 3:20. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Multitudes of people, well-meaning Christians, well-meaning pastors, will use that as an evangelism verse. They will say something like this: John, you know, Jesus is standing at your heart's door knocking, and he's wanting you to open the door and invite him to come in and save you. Well, that's true. That's not what that verse is teaching. It's not what that verse is saying. It's a letter to the church at Laodicea. I call it the putrid church, because Jesus said, you're not hot or cold. You're not really all for me, and you're not all against me. Jesus was literally outside of the church looking in and said, open the door, let me come in. That's literally the context of that verse. But multitudes will use it otherwise, not having a idea at all of what it really means, what is the application and purpose of it. And that church, by the way, church at Laodicea, found in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, is a good illustration of churches today. They're not hot or cold. They're just simply doing church. Most churches today, it's simply a place where you meet, a place where you have chicken dinners, a place where you talk or have parties, a church where you do planning and preparation for different activities, but where very little is really taught, preached, and instruction given for the child of God to understand how to study the Word of God. And Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, I find it so antagonizing, personally, to find so many that claim to be saved that could care less how to study the Scripture and how to interpret it.
My.
I've had so many people to say, you know, preacher, I can't understand the Revelation, the book of, they always call it Revelations. It's single, the book of Revelation, not Revelations. I can't understand the book of Revelation. It's so confusing to me. My question is, have you studied the other 65 books? Oh, no. Well, when you get a grasp of the other 65 books, the 66th book, the book of Revelation, is self-explanatory. It's what God is saying. And one of the things that I want our listeners to understand is Scripture is chronological in each of the texts. We find it in the Revelation text, for example. It's chronological. It's not a matter. In fact, someone recently said that I read behind it, you know, we're living in the era of the fourth horseman that's coming in, and they're totally destroying the context and the chronology of Revelation. So let's boil it down a little bit and talk more to the point of where we want our listeners to follow with us today. What about a text? Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Dr. Phelps, I've heard people say, I've heard preachers say, in fact, a good illustration is, I recently read of a pastor that on a Wednesday night with his congregation, it was a small church, they had about 8 or 10 people present. And so when he stands to speak, he said, well, I'm just so thankful that you're here. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. And so we know that Jesus is here because we have more than two or three. So Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I'll start with you, Dr. Phelps. Is that what the Scripture is saying in Matthew 18:20? Is Jesus, here's the point, and I laugh at it because it's so sad. If there's not two or three and I'm alone, does that mean Jesus is not with me? What say you?
I say that whenever we meet together as Christians, it's a time of fellowship, and the Bible tells us that our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that fellowship then includes the Lord. He's always present. He can be present always. And He did promise that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God is with me. He's with you. When we meet together, we have a common reason to fellowship. Amen. We have a common friend. We meet to fellowship with the Lord, talk about Him, sing about Him, praise Him. So church is supposed to be a time when we meet together and we keep the Lord in mind. I suspect that there are many people who go to church regularly in all of our churches, and perhaps they don't even think the Lord needs to be present. What say you?
Well, Let's go around the table. Dr. Davis, what about the text in Matthew 18:20? Let me just read it. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So if there's two or three, that means Jesus is there. If there's just one, that means he's not there. What is the context of this text?
Well, if we back it up and go to the 15th verse, mm-hmm. and then come down. You see, a lot of times we put the horse, the cart ahead of the horse, mm-hmm. basically.
Right.
But if you start with verse 15 and then come down to 20, it's really speaking to how to discipline sin in the church.
Yes.
Now, when it gets down to verse 20 and it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst, Jesus was merely confirming what was said in the book of Deuteronomy about how it took two or three witnesses for every word to be established.
Right.
So that meant when you look 19. At discipline in the church, mm-hmm. two or three people had to come together and confirm the same thing, that there was a problem or is a problem. Now we need to consider what we need to do to consult the word of God, how to deal with sin in the body of Christ.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, I want to take a moment right after we take our callers, and I want us to walk through verses 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then see how verse 20 is the capstone on what is being said in verses 15 and following.
Amen.
I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Brother Youngblood and other gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I love y'all, man, for real.
Thank you.
I wanted to go to Matthew 24, if I'm not mistaken, when disciples asked Jesus, when is the sign of his coming? And Jesus said to them, the first thing he told them, do not be deceived, because many will come in his name. I'm paraphrasing. Many will come in his name and pull away many. And he said also, that it's going to be like birth pains. And we are in that period right now. And Dr. Youngblood, you said about on the track, like a train on the track. We're off the track. Because of these young people that's going to these colleges and universities, they are so, please forgive me, Lord, they're so ignorant.
They have been brainwashed to hate God, to hate the church, to hate America, brainwashed completely. But going back to your premise on Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 is two chapters. It's one unit of thought. It is the exegetical work in telling us, reminding us, warning us of what's going to take place. How do we know that the end is near? How do we know what is very, very soon before the world? And then the Lord Jesus, after the disciples asked the question, he gives the answer to their question. And that question, as you said, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's in verse 3 of Matthew 24. And then the first thing, Kenneth, is this. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, so you not be troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, it's very, very clear in the statement there. God sets the stage that these things are going to happen. But listen, the first sign of the fact that we're living in the last days is that false teachers will be on the stage. False teachers, false preachers, philosophical rhetoric, but not preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the balance of the text is the outfall of what will take place. But I find it fascinating and sad that the very first thing that Jesus mentions that is one of the major signs of the last days is the false teaching, the false preachers. And I am saddened by that, but that's very true. This is the reason we need to understand how to interpret the Bible, how to understand it. Kenneth, brother, our time is up for this portion of the broadcast, but thank you so much for calling today. And keep looking up. You're spot on. And I pray that your tribe may increase. Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're going to take the top of of the news, top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville,